ask that you remain standing this morning, hear and receive God's word.
Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into the boat and sat in it at the lake, while all the people were among the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'"
He who has ears to hear, let him hear. She who has ears to hear, let her hear. Parables are not about being intelligent enough to figure it out, but rather receptive enough to actually listen. Parables are not understood because of advanced theological training, but because of surrendered hearts to our living God. Hearing the truth in Jesus' parable this morning is not about expertise, it's about openness. So, he who has ears to hear, hear. She who has ears to hear, listen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking truth long ago and for coming here this morning through your Spirit to speak truth to us once again. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you came to make known who you were and to make known your will and purpose for our lives. You came long ago and you are here this morning. Speak, Lord, we need to hear your voice. Speak, Lord, your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. That's a pretty good story if we'll listen. That's a pretty good parable if we'll receive it. Four soils this morning. Which soil, which ground are you? I know in your Bibles it probably says parable of the sower. But to me it's really a parable about soils. Okay? Four soils. Which one are you? First soil is the hard soil. It's the path soil. I mean, it's like this right here. It's like the asphalt and the concrete out in the parking lot. It's hard. And so when the seed falls on that hard soil, it just lays there on top of the soil. And the birds come, Satan comes and devours the seed. Second soil is the rocky soil. It's shallow soil. And if you've ever grown up around rocky soil, it's got, you know, the seed will go in. And it probably will even come up and have, I mean, some really quick growth. But when the sun comes up, because there's no root, because it's just at the surface, it will just be burned away. And not any growth, any maturity, any fruit will happen. Third soil is the thorny, weedy soil. And the thorny, weedy soil is that soil, the seed goes in, and it may go in even at some depth. But because all these weeds are all around it, all these thorns are all around it, it grows, has some maturity, seemingly has some life, has some green, maybe even some, you know, some little blossoms, but no fruit because the thorns come and choke the life out of that plant. And then there's that good soil. The seed goes in, it grows, it blossoms, it produces fruit many, many, many fold. That's the good soil. So look, as Darlene was reading this morning, I just kind of want to make sure we get it. Which ground, which soil does Jesus want us to be? Well, I don't know, it's kind of complicated, Andy. Let me think about it. It's not, is it? Which soil? The good soil. Right? And Evelyn Laycock is one of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever heard. And she died 2 weeks ago, one week after Billy Graham died. She also died in North Carolina, 91 years old. Last time I heard her teach, she was 85. She came up to the pulpit with a walker. I almost said stroller because we've had kids, grandkids all week. Anyway, and on a walker. And I mean, she went to the pulpit in that walker and she opened her Bible and the power of God came down. Because she had this undeniable love for God, undeniable love for His Word. And the Holy Spirit always spoke so clearly through her. Evelyn defines a parable as a story that tells a truth, an eternal constant through the use of everyday language. Jesus isn't trying to make it complicated. He's trying to put the truth out there where we can get it. Every story or parable that Jesus told had one central idea. And in his parables, Jesus is giving us, in this parable today, he's giving us this plumb line. And if you've ever built anything, whether, you know, a fence in your backyard or a fence for your garden or gone on a mission trip and built a brick wall, a plumb line is essential. You line everything up by that plumb line. A plumb line that we have in the parable is that by which we measure our lives. The question for us this morning is, are we in plumb? Are we in plumb with God's purposes, or are we out of alignment with Him? Warren Wiersbe describes parables as both mirrors and windows. As mirrors, parables help us see ourselves who we truly are, who we really are. As windows, they shine in God's truth, and they help us see life as God intends it to be. They help us see who God really is and desires to be in our lives. So in this story, I just go back again, in this parable of Jesus, which soil, which ground are we to be like? Good ground, right? So how do we get there? I mean, how do we become good soil? So if you're here this morning and you're honest enough to realize that you are the hard, pathy soil, how do you get from there to being good soil? What needs to happen in your life to make your heart different than it is today? Different towards the Lord, different towards others. Hardness of the heart, cardiosclerosis. I know we know arteriosclerosis, right? Hardening of the arteries. Cardiosclerosis is hardening of the heart. And Jesus dealt with this in all kinds of places, especially with the Pharisees. But there's all kinds of reasons why we have hardness of heart. Maybe it's bitterness. You know, maybe it's the fact that we have this stuff that's happened in our life that has caused us to be hard towards others or towards Him. Maybe it comes because we're so self-reliant, we're going to take care of ourselves. Or maybe hypocrisy, pretending on the outside we have it all together. You know, looking good, trying to look good a certain way on the outside, but in the inside we're dying. In the inside our hearts are full with unhappiness and hatred and judgment and selfishness. This is where Jesus, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus encounters a little cardiosclerosis. In fact, a lot of cardiosclerosis. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely. They weren't trying to get some truth or some good from him. They were trying to get him. They were going to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up here in front of everybody." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. Jesus looked around at them in anger, and he was deeply distressed at their hard hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." You know, you want to know what breaks God's heart? You want to know what makes Jesus angry? You want to know what has him deeply distressed, not just 2,000 years ago, but this morning? Is when our hearts get hard toward him. Then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. All he did was heal a guy in the synagogue, right? And they want to kill him. That's what hard hearts do. They cause us to move away from God's purpose and towards destruction again and again and again. Our internal hardness, our cardiosclerosis, often comes from hurt. You know, something happens in our life and somebody does something that hurts us and we put up a brick. You know, and then they say something or we say something to them. They say something back to us, brick. You know, and then, you know, all of a sudden we're protecting ourselves, brick. And then they're pulling back more, brick. And before it's all said and done, we have built this huge cave of hardness around our hearts. Oftentimes, hardness, cardiosclerosis comes because we have gotten really good at resisting and rejecting God. God wants me to, you know, go and share something with somebody, but you know, Lord, I just don't really feel like brick, right? Well, you know, Andy, you really need to forgive that person for what they. Well, I don't really brick. You know, you really should be doing brick. Anytime I resist God, anytime I say no to God, it's a brick. And before it's all said and done, I have this whole process of resistance and rejection that again has created a cave of hardness around my heart. Cardiosclerosis. And when our hearts get hard and God's truth and God's love and God's grace and God's spirit come, they just lay like seed on the surface to be snatched away by Satan himself. So how do you go from hard, pathy soil to good soil? Well, you got to get out there. We'll get to the next slide. The rotary tiller. All right. By the way, this is a really souped-up rotary tiller. It goes about 35 miles an hour. And it's about 50 horsepower. That's what we need. We need something that will just dig down. Like here these great big walls are, we need something to bam, bam, to break down the walls, to break through our hardness. Now, by the way, if you're the dirt underneath that rotary tiller, how's that feel? There's pain involved. When God starts breaking our hearts, it will hurt. But it's only through that hurt that we become aware of our need, and only through that need that we become aware of what God really wants to do in our soil. Okay? I know nobody wants to line up in that line, but that's what has to happen. For the hardness, the pathiness of our life to be broken through. Look, we have that for all kinds of reasons. Something that happened a long time ago, something that's happened currently, whatever it is, we've let our hearts get hard. Second kind of soil, if you're honest this morning, honest enough to realize, is that you're rocky soil, shallow soil, you know? And so the shallow soil, again, there's some growth there. It looks good for a while. You know, this is when God's happening on your terms, right? You go to church camp and he rocks your world, you know. Or you come to church and you have the very best friends in the world. As long as God's working according to your terms and your agenda, you're good. And you'll stay right on the surface and it'll never get any deeper. Because every time that, this is the picture we have. Go to that next pic. All right, you ever dug in this kind of soil, planted in this kind of soil? When we lived in Kentucky, the garden, we were doing a garden there, and I mean, just all kinds of rocks. You know, we got good dirt out here in West Texas. It's not typically like that. But there, you might find a whole great big chunk of rock like this, or you might have a ton of little bitty broken up rocks. And if you were really going to grow a garden, you had to get the rocks out. The rocks, and by the way, how do you get the rocks out? You find a rock. You remove a rock. You find whatever is hard and resistant to God, and you get rid of it. You find a rock, remove a rock. Find a rock, remove a rock. Repeat process again and again and again until that rocky soil becomes fertile soil. And it is a process. It's surgical removal of things in our life that are resistant to God. Maybe because we don't want to do what God wants us to do, you know? Or maybe we don't like, you know, what's happened to us, and we're going to just focus on that so much so that we lose sight of everything else God wants to do, and all of a sudden we got a rock, we got a stone. Those things got to come out. We got to get rid of that if we're ever going to grow the kind of fruit that God wants us to grow in. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Okay, sometimes we don't even know the rocks are there. They're buried. We're looking at the ground. It looks pretty good. We're planting seed. We're getting a little bit of growth. But the reason why they're not taking root is because the rocks have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12 and 13, 14. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. Here's the deal with this rocky stuff. I gotta really pray two prayers. Lord Jesus, show me the rock. Lord Jesus, show me the resistance. Lord Jesus, show me where I got stuff in me that's in the way of getting deep with you. And then I gotta pray, Lord, come in with your pickaxe, with your scalpel. Come and take that stuff out. Both things that thy word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. That light, here's the next slide, I think. Maybe. Is there another? Go to the next slide. Keep going. The light of God's love, right? The light of God's love will pierce even the darkest night. So here's your ground. It's got all this stuff buried that nobody knows about, that you're not willing to tell anybody about. And you got to just ask God to send this light. Put the flashlight of His grace and love on whatever that rock is. And then, Lord, also come and get rid of these rocks in my life. Again and again. See the rock, get rid of the rock. See the rock, get rid of the rock. Third, so that's how you get from rocky soil to good soil. Third kind of soil, if you're honest enough to be aware of it this morning, is thorny soil. Weedy soil. Now, we got a picture of this. Okay, that look at that cotton there, because it's green. You could tell us a lot more about this cotton, but that cotton looks pretty good to me. It might even have some blooms on it. It's had a lot of growth, but it's not going to have any fruit if those weeds choke it out. And that's what happens to a lot of us. I mean, we're here, my goodness, we're here. We're getting seeds. We're getting those seeds planted in us and sometimes deep in us, and we're growing. But we're letting the weeds define us rather than the crop. Sometimes, listen how Jesus describes this weed in verses 18 and 19. The weedy soil. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. See, they receive it. I mean, they're listening. They're open. They're receiving it. But, right? But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. It's got some penetration. It's got some growth. But it has no fruit. And that just described a pretty good chunk of the church to me. Not our church, but the church in general. It describes my life in so many ways. There's these core stuff, these core messages that we've allowed to get in our ground and grow up and really eventually define our lives. You know, like the one with the most toys wins, the one with the most trophies wins, the one with the most romantic accomplishments wins, the one with the most money wins. No. And we got these worldviews about our worth and our significance is in what other people think about us. Our worth and our significance is in our performance or what we produce. Well, what happens when you're 75 and you're retired and you're not producing anymore? Does that mean you don't have worth? No. Our worth and our significance is in the God who created us. Our worth and our significance is what Christ has done for us. But those weeds, right, they multiply and multiply and choke the life out of who we are in Christ. So how do we get from weedy, thorny soil to fertile soil? So we got some picks here. This first pick, this is a guy cultivating soybeans up in Minnesota, right? That's a pretty good looking crop. See what can happen when you get the weeds out? Or in West Texas, we do it like next pick. We're spraying, you know, that's that really powerful Roundup stuff, which, weeds are getting where they're resistant to that. But anyway, what do we do then? We do what we used to do. Next pick. Anybody know what this is? Yeah, chopping cotton, hoeing cotton. Everybody's done that. So here's, I don't care what you do, but get rid of the weeds. Whatever methodology works for you, use it. Get the stuff out of your life that's choking life out of your life. Anything that's taking away from God's purpose and plan in you, it's time for it to go. You remember how Jesus describes a good soil? First thing is, it's soft, it's receptive. It's this ground that when the seed goes in, it goes all the way in. You can go to that next slide. It's good soil. It's good soil because that seed gets planted not on the surface, not on the rocks. It gets planted deep inside. And the characteristics of the good soil are not just that it's soft and receptive where it's deeply rooted, but also it's cultivated. The weeds get kept out. Okay, we remove the weeds. We take the weeds out. Thinking about how Jesus dealt with the weeds in his life, I just went back to when he was tempted in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, I know that we are most vulnerable, at least, you know, if you're in recovery language, when we are hungry, when we're angry, you know, those, when we're going through crisis, when we're most vulnerable. But for Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, he's not most vulnerable there, he's most dependent there, okay? I mean, when you're hurting, when you're hungry, when things aren't going the way you want them to go, when you feel desperate, for you and me, that's probably when we're most available to Satan's temptation. But for Jesus, that's when he was most dependent upon his Father. Anyway, the tempter came to him and he says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written, it is written, it is written. That's how Jesus cultivated. That's how Jesus got the weeds that Satan was putting on him or trying to plant in his life out of his life. I'm so amazed in my own life, right? And, you know, just how much time I spend, you know, watching basketball or listening to the news or reading something, and how much time I spend in God's Word. I think the average Christian spends 2 minutes a day reading his or her Bible. 14 minutes a week compared to the other 168 hours where Satan is bombarding you with all kinds of nonsense. It is written. That's how you cultivate. That's how you pull the weeds. You base your identity not in all the things going on around you, but in the very truth of God being spoken to you. This morning, I know one of the other characteristics we can't miss is this multiplication at phenomenal rates. You know, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, phenomenal rates. If you go to those next slides, Nathaniel, the next, after fertile, this next slide is not in the text, but I think we got to assume it, right? You can't have 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold growth without moisture, without the very rain of God coming into your life. This morning, in the early service, Harold Landrum and Billy, they came in. You know, Harold's in his scooter now. He's over 90. He comes every Sunday, drives that scooter in. He cuts a donut right up here. I'm surprised we don't have worn stuff in the carpet. But anyway, they came in, and I patted Harold on the shoulders, and he was wet. I said, oh, man, it's raining out there. And then Billy came, and I kind of gave Billy a hug, and she was wet. And I said, it's okay to get wet, isn't it? She said, yeah. I said, it's good to get wet. Y'all, it's good to get wet. Not with the sprinkles from the clouds, but it's good to get wet with the truth of God's Spirit, the presence of God's Spirit. Rain down upon us. And if you're not willing to get wet, you're not willing to grow. And if you're not willing to grow, you'll never produce fruit. There's a picture. If you'll skip that scripture and go to the next picture. Keep going, brother. Okay, so this is John, Tom and Susan Lord. They sit right back there, second row. This is their son and daughter-in-law and their two boys. Now, let me tell you, Mary King Lord is the woman in the picture. Those are her two boys. All right, John is on the y'all's left. And then the son, Zach, he's 6'10", the tall one. Okay, and then the other son, Eric, is 6'5". Zach played basketball at West Point, and John was a great basketball player here at Monterey growing up. Mary was on some all-state team down in Wiley that played down there. We met Mary in spring of 1986. We were serving as directors of the Wesley Foundation. She just happened to come in on a Sunday night. We served meals. That's when the dorms didn't have meals on Sunday night. Mary came. She came to eat, but I think more than anything else, that's the first time. She was a senior in college. First time she ever darkened the doors. And I think there was a lot of stuff going on in her life. And she just happened to show up that night. And that night, there was a group of students just happened to be talking about what God had done in them on a mission trip to Haiti. And Mary came up to me. She didn't know me from Adam. She said, I want to go on that trip. I said, okay, girl, you're in, right? And so she went. And on that trip to Haiti, Janie and Jay, we were pregnant with Josh at the time. A great place to be, you know, the disease capital of the world when you're, you know, 1 month pregnant that we didn't even know. Anyway, we get there and God does incredible things through us for the people of Haiti, but especially just in us. And literally, we just saw him do all kinds of miracles. And one of the miracles was that Mary gave her life to Jesus. She was there as a missionary, and it was in Haiti that she got saved. And for her senior year, instead of going off and, you know, making money, doing whatever she's supposed to do, she became an intern at the Wesley Foundation. And this is Mary to me. She was a sponge. You know, I mean, it didn't matter whether it was a Bible study or a prayer group meeting or a leadership team or, you know, being a staff and all these books that we read. It didn't matter. She just soaked it up again and again and again. And her whole life, her and John both, I mean, they have had a multiplication of fruit. Not just in their family, but in the places that God has used them to make a difference in this world. That's how it's supposed to be. But it starts when we let the seed come in and come deep. That we are soft and available to God's Spirit. It starts when we soak up His truth. It starts when we let Him rain down the nourishment of His Spirit to our soul. And then the fruit. And we dig out the weeds, right? And then the fruit is born. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. This morning, how's your dirt? How's your ground? There are two outrageous things in this parable that had we been first century Palestinians, we would have just been shocked. You know, I can't believe Jesus said that. Did you hear him? Two things that might have led to outright guffawing, laughter, slapping of the knees. Two things that would have been so outrageous. Two things that would have knocked their socks off if only they wore socks, right? As they were listening to Jesus teach that day by the sea on that long ago day. Two things he would have said that would have been crazy, unheard of. And the first outrageous thing Jesus said in this story, it's the crop's rate of multiplication. Okay?
It's impossible. It's unthinkable. It's unimaginable. I mean, we have a bumper crop around here. We've got to have the right rain. We've got to have the right weather. We've got to have the right farmer. We've got to have the right time of planting and the right time of stripping and the right time of... Everything's got to be right. And then we can have, right? 2 bales, 3 bales, 4 bales an acre. That's a bumper crop. A bumper crop in first century Palestine would have been a tenfold crop. And Jesus starts talking about a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold crop. Are you kidding? What are you talking about, Jesus? There's no way. The only way the soil could produce a crop like that is by the very hand of God. The very miraculous touch and provision of the Lord. You want to be good soil? Then put your life, put your ground, put your heart fully and completely into the hands of Jesus. Christianity is not about how hard you work or how hard you try to be spiritual. It's about how surrendered you are to Him. Put your dirt, put your life, put your everything into His hands. Second outrageous, unheard of, unreal part of this story is that the sower, the planting farmer, is scattering his seed everywhere. Scattering his seed on the hard path, scattering his seeds on the rocky ground, scattering his seeds on the weedy soil. I mean, no, that's crazy. That's outrageous. No normal, practical, thrifty, count every penny Jewish, self-respecting, first century farmer would dare waste seed by scattering it on the path or on the thorny soil or on the rocky ground. But this farmer, this capital S sower, is a God of extravagant grace. Jesus' farmer in this story wants the seeds of His love and His truth and His kingdom to be planted and available to all. Available to every single one of us here this morning. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. John 3:16, for God so loved not just the good soil, God so loved the world. The hard soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil. God so loved the world that He gave. Romans 5:8, God proves His love for us, not while we were yet bearing fruit, but while we were still His hard enemies. Christ Jesus died for us. The issue this morning, y'all, is not whether or not God is sowing, because He's sowing. The issue is not whether or not God is sowing. The issue in the red letters of Jesus' parable is whether or not we are receiving. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. She who has ears to hear, let her hear. Jesus, we just invite you to come and farm us this morning. Come and be the farmer who tills and breaks the hard ground of our hard hearts. And God, come and dig out the rocks, those places of resistance that have defined us and controlled us and kept us on the surface for far too long, kept us shallow in our faith. Get rid of those rocks, oh God. And come and dig out our rows and get out the weeds and the thorns, all those things that are choking our spiritual life out again and again and leaving us fruitless instead of fruitful. We're your dirt, Jesus. We're your farm. We're your land. You come and have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray.